Welcome to the August edition of the Simple Farms LLC podcast here today. I'm Lori Boyer and Scott Scheimer is joining me for our conversation here today. He is the owner of Scheimer Farms in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. He is also the owner and the creator of a margin analysis tool for producers called the Simple Farms LLC app, which we'll be talking about during our conversation here today. But Scott, since the last time we talked, what are you up to on the farm?
Right now, we're kind of at the end of, well, we finished up wheat harvest, so we marketed our wheat. We didn't have a great wheat crop, so we plugged in what we did yield-wise where we marketed, and then the rest was the insurance coverage. You know, we're playing the revenue protection on our enterprise units, so we're collecting those checks right now and plugging that in and seeing where we're in the year. So that's kind of where we're using the program right now. Also, we track what we do in our daily operations. So we're out there spraying the fields for the second time. We caught a few little rains that have brought on the weed pressure. And so we're reviewing what we had put on the previous time, what we're putting on this time. You know, there's some products we don't want to push too hard. So we're making sure we're not doubling down on some of the products. And so those are kind of the two aspects we're using the program for right now.
Have you had grasshopper problems?
Oh, sheesh. The worst ever. Yeah. Yeah. So, we figured it out. We put 120 miles of perimeter spraying on the sprayer just to set them back. And there are fields we just needed to hit again that we didn't have time to, and they definitely caused a lot of damage.
Any ideas, Scott, on why grasshoppers were so bad this year?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to anybody. I would say it's probably just the season. You know, you can read about the drought, the Dust Bowl, and how bad of problems they had with grasshoppers back then. And we're definitely dry here. We're probably in one of our worst shapes we've been in a long time.
Yeah, Scott, what you're saying pretty much echoes what I've heard from other producers across eastern Colorado on how bad grasshoppers have been this year.
Yeah, I've wondered. I mean, we're obviously speculating. There's people out there no way better. We're full no-till and all our rotations. I'm sure we're harboring some of their, creating an environment for them to harbor in. So we'll create new battles for ourselves, no different fighting pigweed and kochia weed.
Scott, that is a valid point, I'm sure. Other than grasshoppers, droughty conditions, that's been an issue and a challenge for you, right?
Oh, you know, it's been spotty. That's what's been crazy. You know, like we cover about a 60-mile radius. We got a few fields that look really good. We've even got a field that's still got a pond on it, you know, a low spot. And then we've got other fields we haven't caught a rain. Like right around Cheyenne Wells, we haven't caught a rain all year. It's just really spotty. I've talked to neighbors that are a few miles away that caught nothing, and we've caught a half inch. It's probably been one of the spottier years I've ever seen. And it seems to just be holding this trend. Wherever we're getting a rain, we just keep getting a good rain, and the other fields are getting nothing.
So there's always the challenge of weather. It sounds like this year more challenging than usual, but also the challenges of high input costs and breaking even.
It is. You know, the input costs are coming down a little bit. I think the biggest one that we're all facing is interest rates. Very few of us have been through very many interest rate cycles. This level of interest rates with operating money is, it's real. It's real numbers, and they have a big effect on us. And, you know, going out and buying a whole bunch of inventory of cheap Roundup or anything, we find ourselves doing more just hand and mouth with all our products. And taking advantage of any company that supplies a product out there that's competitive in the price and will offer low financing for a short period of time, we're definitely taking advantage of that. That's a big number that makes a big difference with those interest rates.
Finding new and different ways to manage and mitigate costs and expenses.
It is. I've gotten to the point where I act like it's a game. You know, it's just you're playing a game. You want to win the game. And so you find all the little loopholes and niches you can. You know, a hard one, too, is these market prices. These market prices have just been really difficult. And we have marketing services that give us advice. We also kind of just watch the numbers. And when they show that we can at least sell something in the black, we're doing it, whether the marketing services say anything or not. We're real thankful we've done that. We've done a good job of marketing. It's just how much production we have. I don't know. That's going to be the tough part.
And that can just loop us right into that app. And that's where you plug that information in and you can see right there.
That's exactly right. You know, we throw in a production level, especially as tough times are right now. We basically put in our APH level, where our insurable level is, and we're marketing at that production level. and using those numbers. And when we can see a number that gives us a black on the Simple Farms program, we're pulling the trigger, not on all of it. You know, we're hoping there's a little more rally. We do step contracts. So we price a little bit each time. And market goes up a little more, we'll price a little more. If it starts to go down, but we're still in the black, we'll price a little more.
Scott, have you made any changes or do you anticipate making any changes to the app based on what we just talked about?
So a big feature we designed for the program that we're going to promote is we're putting in a carbon credit structure. So there's a lot of questions they ask in the carbon market that don't actually apply in Simple Farms, but it's so close a feature. So we're working with Locus Ag and putting that in, where if you enroll a field into a carbon credit program, it will then move into asking more questions in the program to fill out all that data. So in the end result, you can just filter all that out and spit it out so that you qualify in the carbon market without having to do a whole nother set of spreadsheets and everything else.
And I know you yourself participate in some of these programs and have some familiarity with it. So what kinds of questions will you ask in the app then?
Yeah, so I do. We participate in it. They'll ask, are you using other biologicals in the field, which is already going on, but it'll also ask if you're tilling, how deep you till, how many times you till, what percentage residue is left in the field after a tillage operation, even a harvest. They want to know how much residue was left in the field or did you remove when you harvested? So obviously for running stripper heads, we're not taking as much residue out as we would with a conventional drape head. So all those factors, the residue retention is a big deal. Also cattle. Cattle is a bonus. So did you put cattle on that field? And how long were they on? How many head? So some of those factors they start asking that Simple Farms didn't have in the program before. So we just kind of add those features in associated with whatever field you might have in a carbon program.
Scott, if you then want to participate in a carbon program, the data that you have entered into the Simple Farms program, how does that get transferred into the company's biological program?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. You can print it off in a PDF. We're going to have it also where if you're with a program, you grant that program access into your Simple Farms only for the data they're looking for. So none of your financials, none of your costs. It's only operation oriented. So none of that will show up on their end. The program will filter that out so that all they can see is the data they need out of the program and none of your financials or anything like that.
When do you then, Scott, expect the changes to actually be made to the Simple Farms app?
Well, we've done the designs with the team, so now it's going out and talking. We want to make this with Locus at this point in time, so we're proposing it to them. Our original discussion is possibly a cost share in the development of it. So right now we just have our wireframes built for presentation. The design's there. The roadmap's created, so if we decide to move forward with it, the team's ready to go to build it.
Well, that is pretty neat, Scott.
So that's probably the biggest feature. Everything else, pretty clean in the program. We're kind of run with it this year as it is. I know we get requests from customers of seeing other features in the program, and we definitely want to address those as we grow and add more customers. So we're hoping we can add some new people this year and help us keep improving the program.
And during our conversations in the past, Scott, I think you've said most of the changes that you look to make are based on user and farmer feedback.
Instead of doing a whirlwind marketing approach, we really are a customer-oriented conversations with our customers. Julie's really diligent about reaching out when you do a renewal monthly. Hey, if you've got any questions, need any help, please reach out to us. So we have a lot of conversations. And then I'm in the machines talking to my peers. They're farmers too. You know, us farmers, we'll talk farming all day long. And we'll get into what they're looking for in Simple Farms. And I would love to address a lot of these that the guys are using the program with and gals. It's fun, you know, that they've got great ideas that we want to put into the program. It's just economics. We'll get there.
All right. And how are things going with the shrimp business?
So the shrimp are doing good. It's exciting. Jim just sent me a video the other day. He was harvesting out of the shrimp tanks. We've got 10 tanks and I have my reserve personal one where I've been trying to grow them. They're actually prawns. You know, we call them shrimp. We're making an attempt to grow this batch in my reserve tank up to quarter pounders. And Jim showed me a video the other day of them in there. We're getting close. These are some monster shrimp.
But when you order them, they're pretty small, right? And then you grow them to full size?
That's correct. When they show up, they're about half the size of a mosquito. They get up to that 20 count in about 3 to 4 months. We're not great feeders. We're working on it. We're doing a better job. So we're a little slower growing them than what they say we can grow them at. We should be able to bring them from that little mosquito size up to a full marketable shrimp in 3 months. It's taken us about 4 months to do that. But then we can keep growing them. You know, these critters that we're looking to get a quarter pound are going to be almost 7, 8 months old.
But Scott, it sounds like you are getting the growing thing mastered if you're growing them that big.
Yeah, we're doing better and better.
And I may have asked you this before, but what do you feed them?
Actually, shrimp food. But the way we feed them too is they're in their own ecosystem. So only 10% of it comes from actually putting a granular food in there. The rest goes through a circulation with bacterial digestion that creates what's called bioflock and a nitrite. And that's what the shrimp consumes. So it's its own ecosystem we build.
Okay, very cool. Do you still have cattle?
A few, very few. Most of it we're doing custom. So we're having a dialogue with the guys we do custom care for in the winter on stocks. Things look tight. We don't have very good fields, very good crops. We're probably going to have to cut. They're going to have to cut. So that's a dialogue we're having right now. So we have a few head, but most of it's custom.
And in addition to that, I know you had started an orchard project. Did you have enough water to keep that going this year?
I think it's too hot in that pen. It was my grandfather's livestock pen in the feed yard, and it was the end part. So we figured it wasn't as hot. We've been adding biologicals and everything, growing rye in it, trying to cool it down. And we planted the trees, and I think out of 50 trees is in bushes, I think we maybe have a dozen left. They were really beautiful and green, and we've been watering the heck out of them. I think they're burning up because of the soil is still too hot. So we're going to do some work on that, do some soil samples now and see what we need to do.
Like all that is not enough, Scott. What else is going on?
You know, the fun thing is I'm looking out the window right now and it's still overcast and foggy. We've kind of got somewhat of a moisture, I guess, south of here. I've just got reports that we got an inch. We're two and a half weeks out from drilling wheat. So that's pretty exciting. Maybe we've got a chance to actually start getting our wheat up. That's where we're at next. Got the combines ready to go. We will swath a little millet. We will pick a little corn and we will cut some Milo. It's just where we're going to be at yield wise. I think it's going to be pretty tough.
And how many acres of wheat do you plan on planting?
This year we'll do about 4,000. We really try to diversify our ground into 5 different crop types each year.
And how would you say that compares with your 5-year average in terms of the amount of acres planted to wheat?
It's equal. It's equal. Okay. Yeah, we're not pivoting. We really try to just stay on rotation no matter what the markets are, what the weather is. Just push on and hope and pray.
Are there any changes that you're making, Scott?
No, we are steady and slow right now. We the game is to survive.
So. Yeah, that's true. Well, then you'll be heading into fall, and that's when you start your meetings, for the Simple Farms app, when you start your producer meetings and conversations. I mean, I know you do amount during the year, but this is when all the farm shows start to kind of get kicked up and a lot of different things that are going on out in the communities.
It is. I actually am invited to a grower meeting in St. Francis. So okay. I'll go to that. You know, you just meet so many people, what we're doing, and we've networked and developed relationships all over the place. So we have lots of opportunities to travel and meet with guys. The hard part's going to be, I think for most of us in this region, is just find an avenue to have an upbeat conversation. You know, we're going through tough times and it's just trying to have a positive conversation and a positive outlook and look forward to the good times again, get a little moisture and decent market prices and maybe make some good margins again.
What does the Farmer's Almanac say?
You know, I haven't read it. I asked the wife about it. She's the one that reads it, but I don't know what it says. We talked about that. We thought if we really push the cattle care, we'll probably have a heck of a blizzard. Maybe that's what we're going to have to do.
There you go. Just go wash your car a few times. You'll get your
Oh, rate. We have tried and tried.
Well, Scott, unless there was anything else you wanted to mention or talk about here today, where can we go to find more information about the app and to take a look at it?
Yeah, check us out at simplefarms.ag. We are talking about improving our webpage, making some changes there. But check us out at simplefarms.ag, and you can sure reach out to us. Our contacts are there, and love to have a conversation about using our program.
Scott, good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
All right, Lori. Thank you very much. You take care.
Once again, Scott Scheimer, he is the owner of Scheimer Farms in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, and is also the creator and founder of the Simple Farms LLC app that we've been talking about here today, which is a margin analysis tool for producers. For the Simple Farms LLC podcast, I'm Lori Boyer.